Chapter 18. All right, Luke 18. And today we'll be looking at verses 1 through 8. Luke 18, 1 through 8. Okay. So we'll read first, then we'll pray. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much, Lord, for today and these services today that we get to come together and worship you. We pray in this time that you teach us what you have for us, and you teach us to be able to speak with you and to continue to fellowship with you all throughout our lives. We pray, Father, that you speak to our hearts and help all of us to seek the Lord Jesus Christ and his glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this verse beautifully demonstrates the Lord's perspective on today's topic, which is praying with chutzpah. Okay? So we'll write that out so you can see. Chutzpah. Praying with chutzpah, which comes from the Hebrew word chuzpah. Okay, and chutzpah is a Yiddish word, which means it's European Jewish, which means audacity or boldness. It comes from the Hebrew word chuzpah, which means cheek or audacity. Chutzpah gives the idea of a certain nerve believers are to have in their prayer life. But don't take my word for it. But let's see what Jesus' perspective is on those who pray with chutzpah. So let's look at the parable. So Christ's intention was to teach men ought always to pray. At this point in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is speaking to his flock, which consists almost exclusively of the apostles. This would be after John 6, when the multitudes walked away at Jesus' hard sayings. And so this is an assembly which is primarily his apostles that are still with him. And he's teaching them as the great shepherd or the great pastor is teaching his flock on the very important lesson of having prayer in their lives and having reliance on God. The first lesson is that they are always to pray. This brings to mind later references to consistently be in prayer, such as 1 Thessalonians 15, which we can go to. Verses 17 to 18. Excuse 15. First Thessalonians 5, 17 to 18, which says, Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We also go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Verses 14 and 15, where Peter says, Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So needless to say, the apostles got the message. But what about the attitude of the one who's praying? So they got the message to always be in prayer, but what about their attitude? What is going on in their hearts when they pray. So now let's go back to our parable, Luke 18. Okay. The judge. We know this judge was unjust because he was not inclined to help a widow. If he feared God, he would help the widow. God has made it abundantly clear in Scripture that he has a heart for widows and orphans. Okay? And anyone who afflicts them would be invoking the wrath of God. So we'll go quickly to Exodus 22. This is God speaking to the Israelites as he gives the law. Exodus 22, verses 22 to 24. Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry. And my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. So we see God has anger for those who will afflict a widow or an orphan. So this judge, if he feared God, would be inclined to help the widow. But Jesus demonstrates that he is not just and he does not fear God. But why does that matter for the parable? Why does that matter that he's not just? Well, Jesus focused in on the judge to first create a caricature of a man who is an unjust person. Jesus was exaggerating the injustice of the judge to emphasize the qualities of God and his relationship with his people. And Jesus had done this in other places. So it gives this idea of, if then, how much more? Okay, so if then, how much more? If then, how much more? So in Matthew 6, we won't go there, Matthew 6, 26 to 30, Jesus is talking about relying on God and not fearing about your necessities in life, but understanding God will provide them. So he provides for his people who he was willing to die for. So Jesus said, if God was going to feed the birds of the air, which are not made in his image, how much more will he provide for his people who he was willing to die for? If God clothes the lilies of the field, which look so beautiful and lovely, and then are thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe those who bear his own image? So for this parable, if the unjust, wicked judge ruled in the widow's favor because of her persistence, how much more will the just and righteous one, who loves you, by the way, help you in your time of need? So the widow, let's look at exactly what she did. We'll read again verses 3 through 5. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. So let's look at a couple things about the widow. She did not simply come to the judge's door and knock and ask him ever so politely if he would help her at as soon as convenience. That would be flattery speech for the sake of manipulation, right? If she came like that. But the Greek brings out, she came unto him, that's an imperfect verb, which is continuous action in the past. So this was a continuing coming to his door, knocking, and being persistent. All right? She came on multiple occasions. She was not concerned about pestering him or getting on his nerves. He was her only hope. Avenge me of mine adversary. That's an aorist imperative verb, which means she was saying right now, do it, avenge me. So think about it. She's coming continually, knocking on his door, banging at his door, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Do it right now. This is strong language indicating that the widow had chutzpah. She had some nerve to not care at all about the judge or coming to his door saying, help me right now. But it was because of her nerve that her request was granted. The judge ruled in her favor just so she could leave him alone. He didn't love her, but God does. And that's why Jesus told this story. So now we'll talk about chutzpah. If you're going to come to God, you'd better do it boldly. This is not a sign of arrogance, but it's actually a sign of humble faith. Look at what Jesus says, Luke 18:8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So Jesus likens this woman's nerve to faith. Chutzpah is understanding the goodness of God, not simply praying to a deistic God far away who does not care one way or another. So this is actually coming with boldness to God, is understanding his goodness. Okay? Let's look. Okay, so God loved us enough to make us in his own image. Genesis 1. And even though we know this verse, I want to point out something that's very interesting about it. Genesis 1, 26 through 28. I'll give you guys a second. Genesis 1, 26 through 28. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Man, male and female, he created them. We'll stop there, actually. So there's four times in these two verses God says that he created man in his own image. Now, to repeat this four times in these different ways is emphatically demonstrating I created you in my image. You are not worthless, but in the image of God. And so understanding that God created us in his own image, four times he repeats it, is emphasizing the great care and love he has for mankind. God loved us enough to adopt us as his own children, Romans chapter 8. And the point is why we're looking at these verses is because chutzpah is understanding who God is and the great care he has taken toward us that we did not deserve, but he gave it regardless. Romans 8, 14 to 15. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Even this brings out the father-child relationship with God. Not a relationship of fear and cowering, but a relationship of God being our loving Father who protects and hears us. And that's part of chutzpah, understanding you were made in the image of God, and he has loved you enough to adopt you by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God loved us enough to put his own spirit into us. Ezekiel 36. There were many verses we could have gone to, but I feel Ezekiel says it so beautifully that we should look at this verse. Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36, 25 to 27. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. So let's go down the list here. Let's take an inventory. God loved us enough to create us in his own image. He loved us enough, despite our sinfulness, that he, when we repented, he adopted us as his own children, giving us not the spirit of fear, but the spirit of adoption. And he put his own Holy Spirit into us that we could be his true children, that we would walk in his ways. Chutzpah is understanding the goodness of God. And mind you, this isn't because we earned it. It's because he is faithful and his son is righteous. We are positionally righteous, receiving the great blessings we never deserved. Chutzpah is at the heart of that, knowing who God is. Chutzpah is in the Shema, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Shema is a prayer that the Jews have prayed for thousands of years, but it comes from this verse in Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's important in understanding in our prayer lives because this is at the heart of what Jesus is talking about. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 5. God says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." So this is what is at the heart of loving the Lord, is to listen and obey his words, to believe the words of God by faith. But why? Because we trust him as our Father. We don't come with flattery or good works that we can appease him or manipulate him, but we come boldly, loving him with all our hearts, even the ugly, fearful, and downcast sides of our hearts. You are to love your God, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. You cannot hide from God. So be open with him as a child who relies on his Father. He knows your heart. Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. God knows what's in your heart. And so when you come to him with chutzpah in prayer, you are not coming holding back what you actually feel or what you actually desire, but you are coming with boldness to your loving Father. Now let's look at a biblical example of this. The Syrophoenician woman, Matthew 15. Matthew 15, verses 21 to 28. Matthew 15, 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. This is a practical application within the Gospels of someone coming to Christ with chutzpah. Okay? Now, the Gospel of Mark brings out that Jesus was actually in a time of seclusion at this point with his apostles, but the woman heard where he was and came desiring his help. The apostles at this point, what is going on with the apostles' attitude? Well, at this point, they have been given power and authority to heal and cast out demons in Matthew 10. But they have not yet experienced the humble lesson of not being able to cast out the demon in Matthew 17. So at this point, they're puffed up. Okay? She's here for us. Send her away. She's not here for you. Apostate Jewish culture carries with it a respect of persons, especially when it comes to Gentiles. No doubt the apostles were the one to first call this woman a dog and probably say things like, who does she think she is? Doesn't she know the Messiah is for Israel? Jesus was feeding into this kind of speech while also giving this woman pushback for her to demonstrate just how much faith she had. Dog is not a derogatory term here, but or in a 21st century insult, but it means a house pet, which is simply feeding into the Jewish idea that they are the children and the Gentiles are lesser. Jesus is feeding into the apostles' insults, but the woman does not hang her head down. She does not defend herself pridefully and then walk away. I have dignity. I don't need to hear this. But she submits to this and persistently asks for help anyway. And what did Jesus do? He commended her for her great faith and helped her in her time of need. Jesus loved chutzpah. Woman, the woman with an issue of blood. She was ceremonially unclean, yet she touched Jesus anyway and was healed and declared clean by Jesus. Mary and Martha, after Lazarus died, who said, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. He didn't condemn them for talking to him that way. He taught them and comforted them in their time of need, in their time of mourning. blind Bartimaeus, who kept yelling for him, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me," despite being told to be quiet multiple times. Jesus healed him, and he became a baptized church member. The criminal on the cross next to Jesus, who was in the middle of the shameful death of dying for his own crime, and yet with empty hands, he asked Jesus to remember him, which means show favor upon me when you come into your kingdom. He was saved and in the New Jerusalem today. What did all these people have in common? They were in the midst of their weakest moments. God had torn them down and they had nothing, like Job. And it was in that time that they didn't care about the shame. They weren't worried about rejection. They knew he was their only hope and boldly came to him with nothing in their hands. Chutzpah is faith. Having chutzpah in our prayer is not saying, "God, give me what I want or what I deserve," or "Look how good I am, God, you have to help me." It's actually being so empty that you look up to heaven and say, "God, you're all I have. Help me." Remember Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Coming to God, believing that he is not saying we are, right? "God, I got this. I take my part in it." It's coming to God saying, "You are. You are the I am. I need you." Remember James chapter 1, next book over. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Go over right before it. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord." God gives lavishly. He is not a man that gets weary or annoyed at your request. He loves you and cares for you, created you in his image, and put his spirit within you, and already knows what's in your heart. So don't waver, but plant your feet on the solid ground of his words. Chutzpah in the will of God, knowing that we are empty. "Well, Marquise, I've been praying, but God hasn't helped me." Well, I would respond, number one, be persistent. Continue to come to his throne with boldness. Like the widow who kept knocking on the door, who had the nerve to say, "You're my only hope." Don't grow weary, grow in boldness. And number two, I would say that he has already begun to help you. Remember, he has already begun. And remember, no matter what happens, he is sanctifying you and molding you into the image of his son. Romans 8:28. We heard that earlier. Romans 8:28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." So, you haven't heard the answer yet? Keep praying with boldness. Keep praying with chutzpah. But also remember that no matter what the outcome is, he is molding you into the image of Christ. He is taking care of you. And a great biblical example would be 2 Corinthians 12 with the Apostle Paul. Chutzpah does not mean demand what you want, but instead it is coming to God with your request and yet trusting his will because you are immersed in his word. When I don't see answer to prayer that I would expect, I love coming to 2 Corinthians 12. 7 through 10. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul's request was as a child going to his father. He was persistent enough to pray about it three times, but God's answer was different than we might expect from a persistent prayer. God was teaching Paul that the grace of God is sufficient. In fact, God was protecting Paul, who at this point was at risk of getting puffed up for all the blessings that he had received. God allowed Paul's trial to maintain his faith, and that was the source of Paul's chutzpah. He knew that God's grace was all he needed, and in fact, it was all he had. So real quick, we'll go over what chutzpah is not. Chutzpah is not vain, repetitious prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 says, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." Thinking that God will hear you if you keep chanting, keep praying the same empty prayer, or my favorite, just put the blood of Jesus on it, whatever that means. The heathens did this when they would invoke sayings or small words in order to try to twist the false god's arms to make them do what they wanted. But Jesus said you are not to pray this way, thinking that you will twist the Lord's arm. But instead, you are to come with chutzpah, with boldness, understanding that your will be done. Instead, chutzpah is saying, "God, I trust you at your words. I know you love me. I know you've been so good to me. You are my only hope, and so I will come to you every day and say, help me. I will trust in nothing else, but nevertheless, let your will be done." Let's end with a great verse about praying in our time of need. Philippians 4:4. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." All right, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much, Lord, for today and for this service, Lord. We thank you for your scriptures, which comfort us, which teach us of your goodness and grace, and teach us to rely on you and you alone. We pray, Father, that we take these things with us, and through any of our trials that we may have, whether public or personal, that you be with us, Lord, and help us to rely solely on you with chutzpah. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.